Welcome home, neighbors.
Welcome home, neighbors.
Hello, neighbors.
We're listening from
Arizona,
Florida,
Maryland,
New York,
New Jersey,
Indianapolis,
California,
Utah,
Michigan,
Iowa,
Massachusetts,
Georgia,
Canada.
Our home resort is
Animal Kingdom,
Polynesian,
Great Lake Tahoe,
Old Key West,
Riviera,
Boardwalk,
Alani Resort,
Hilton Head,
Boulder Ridge,
Copper Creek,
Grand Floridian,
Saratoga Springs,
Beach Club,
and Wilderness Lodge.
And you're listening to
my
Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 21 of the DVC Newscast. I am Shannon, and joining me today, we got Pete.
Hey, everybody.
Vicky.
Hey, guys.
And Jake.
Hey, folks.
We got the whole gang here, and I think it's pretty much because there was some big news today. We're recording this on Monday, January 11th. We were set to record tomorrow, but with all the big news that happened today, we pushed it up a bit. But before we get into the news stories, let's talk about our sponsor. And they actually had a pretty big day themselves, and that is DVC Rental Store. They released their brand new updated website, and I have to say, it is so good. One of the things that I really love about this website, I took a look, I browsed a little bit today, and they have incorporated, for those confirmed reservations, they have incorporated a search tool where you can input your dates of the dates that you're looking for a reservation. So let's say you are looking for February 12th through the 15th. You can now go in, plug in those dates, and it'll bring up all the confirmed reservations that are up for rent with those dates. And I think it's such a great tool. The website just looks so much better. And they also revealed a brand new cancellation policy. They've also reduced the deposit, and I believe the deposit is now 25% of the total reservation. So they've just made some new policies. I encourage you all to go to their brand new website, dvcrentalstore.com, and I think it's great for the rental market for both renters and members.
That does sound like a great deal. There's a lot of times you're not guaranteed any money back. So having a system where you can get some sort of refund seems really a good policy.
So with that, we are going to lead into our stories because we got a lot to talk about today. The first big news story, if you're on Twitter, you knew it was blowing up, and that is that Disney is going to retire Magical Express effective January 1st, 2022. It's not going to be an option. So I think there's a statement on Disney Parks blogs. We'll put something in the show notes as well. But this came, I was shocked. I don't know about you guys. Were you guys all shocked?
I was really surprised by this because Magical Express has been a staple of the Disney resort experience ever since 2005 when they incorporated it in. It's really set staying on site versus off site. And now it's a little bit of a shock because I'm one who flies sometimes from Miami simply because I know I can get from the airport to my resort and not have to pay an added charge and get there within an hour. So it's very confusing on how this is going to affect folks' vacations, whether they're going to choose to continue to stay on site or maybe try off site, since now your only options are pretty much either a rideshare service such as Lyft or Uber, a rental car, or if you have a relative in Orlando. It's just they're letting you handle it and figure it out as opposed to them taking care of the transportation.
So before we get into whether or not this was a good idea, let's talk about some of the options. So Mears has already come out with a statement stating that they will be continuing the service in 2022. Obviously, it's not going to be complimentary. Disney is no longer footing the bill, but they will continue the service starting in 2022. I know there was a lot of chatter on Facebook and Twitter where, oh, they're leaving families in the lurch. Yes and no. There is an option. Mears is going to continue the service. I've also saw that I did take a look, and there is a website called OrlandoShuttleService.com. Just no plug. I just was looking and wanted to give our listeners some options. You plug in where you're going from and where you're going to and what you if you need one way or a round trip and how many people, and they will actually give you some options as far as different transportation companies. I found for a family of four, a SUV round trip with taxes and tolls would be $130. So basically $65 each way. And that's in an SUV. If you went to a town car, it was going to be $105. Obviously, that's an added expense, But I saw some people saying it's going to be $400 to go round trip from the airport. There are going to be options. So if you want to take the bus, there's MERS is going to be continuing the service. I did hear that MERS found out just moments before this press release went out. So they were told this morning that Disney was not going to be renewing their contract. So they probably haven't had a chance to figure out what they're going to be doing. But there will be options. It's just that this is now going to be an added expense. So with that, we'll talk about whether or not it was a good deal on Disney's part. So go.
Okay. Bad idea on Disney's part. The reason Disney put this in place to begin with, and at the time, and it still is a very smart idea, is that it essentially traps you on property. That's why you have a system like Magical Express. Disney has you land in Orlando. I'm one of those coming from out of town. I land in Orlando. I get on the Magical Express. I go to Disney property. I never leave. Now they're taking that away. How does this make sense from their point of view? It doesn't make any sense from their point of view, except they're a giant corporation. And right now they're looking at ways to save money. On paper, this costs them money. In reality, it makes them money because it traps people on site. But because they don't have necessarily a way to have a bottom line dollar to say that, they went and they went, we can save money by getting rid of this. We can let people find their own way. I quite honestly think that they will likely work with MERS, or some, it's probably MERS, but some other corporation, to have a system where maybe you pay $30 a person or whatever, and it works exactly like Magical Express. And let's face it, everybody called it free. It was not free. It was part of the cost of your hotel stay. But I think that Disney is missing out on the fact that this benefits them, and they're, it's basically a shoot yourself in the foot thing, where because right now corporate is looking to cut dollars wherever they can, they see this as there's not a bottom line profit on this. So it's an easy thing to say, okay, we're not going to do it anymore. We'll let people deal with other ways. Now people are going to rent cars. They're going to take shuttles or whatever. They're going to be more likely to, heck, but you're probably gonna have more people staying off site, because there's less and less benefits, and we'll talk about some other things. There's less and less benefits to staying on site. And I think Disney's shooting themselves in the foot, but whatever.
Yeah, I gotta say the same thing.
And the other comment I'll make real quick is, as part of the whole COVID thing, they took away bringing the bags. And at that point, Magical Express was worthless to me anyways, because the big thing to me was I checked my bags in Buffalo, New York, and they show up in my room and I don't worry about them. And as soon as I had to fly to Orlando and now go get my bags, you've already ruined Magical Express. So they'd already ruined it in my view.
So talking about, we do know, we just talked about MERS being outsourced. So Disney Magical Express was never run by Disney. It was outsourced to MERS, and the bags delivery was outsourced to Bags Inc. And what has happened is during COVID, Bags Inc. closed. They had no longer service. They closed. They laid everybody off. So when Disney reopened, Bags Inc. didn't exist anymore. So that's why the service was eliminated. It was never something that Disney, I think, chose to eliminate, but because of the company that they used to outsource it, went away. But I do agree with you. That was the big deal about Magical Express, was the bag delivery. And that's where I think a lot of people took advantage of Magical Express, because I can remember countless times seeing on Facebook people asking about, can I sign up for Magical Express and then take an Uber just so that they can bring my bag to the resort and then I'll just take an Uber. And a lot of people did that because they wanted to get to the resort faster, but they wanted their bags to get there as well. I think a lot of people did that. And I haven't taken the bus in years, but even when I took it back in 2009, 2010, the buses were never very full. So I think they were less and less full. And how many countless pictures have you seen since they reopened of people are like, I'm king of the bus, because they're the only ones on the bus. So I think that a lot of that, I think COVID probably changed a lot of things, but I think the big driver of this decision is Uber and Lyft.
While I understand that there were sometimes, especially flights coming in at midnight, where there's people who, like you said, are king of the bus or queen of the bus, I think this is something that Disney's going to regret. I don't agree with this decision at all. So I'm a big fan of the story. I love the immersion when you get on the bus to the point that you get to your resort and you don't see the real world until you get back to the airport. I think that's an awesome feature of Magical Express. And also, A lot of us here, especially the ones on our show, are DVC members. But when you think about the people paying cash and they're paying top dollar premium, especially those at deluxe hotels, and that's why people choose Disney hotels over off-property hotels such as a Marriott or a Hilton or Gaylord Palms, now you're giving people the option to go outside because it really doesn't make a difference whether they're on-site or not on-site. So I think this is just not a good decision and it's going to end up backfiring, and I could totally see them bringing it back once they see hotel bookings dip.
I put a big OMG when I was informed of this big change, so it pretty much is a big shift for everyone to get used to. The thing that I really loved, like Jake was saying about the immersion, is when you get to MCO, you fly in, you go to a Terminal B to take the Magical Express, and it's all seamless. As soon as you land, you're in the magic. Walt Disney World Vacations has everything all together, air, shuttle, everything. I'm sure there'll still be some option. It'll just be wrapped up into one cost, but with saying what the cost will be. But it might not be called Magical Express, but everybody loved Magical Express. And when you leave, it's Tragical Express. It was a whole part of it. So people will miss that whole experience.
I agree. I'm going to be Pollyanna here. I was shocked. It was one of those things I saw come through and I was just like, wow, OMG. But thinking about it, it makes sense. And like I said, I think the big driver of this is Uber and Lyft. Disney created this to create the Disney bubble. And I remember the first time we traveled was when gas prices were sky high. I think it was like $4 a gallon. We flew. It was cheaper to fly. We flew and I took Magical Express and I remember the red carpet. And that was my first experience staying on property with my boyfriend, now husband. And we stayed at All-Star Sports and taking the bus. And I was like, this is the best thing ever. We're never staying off property. And that's when I was hooked. So you created that bubble and it was fantastic. We drive, we're 3.5 hours away. This past trip, when we stayed in December, we had our car. We had planned to go off-site. We had planned to use our car. We never went off-site once, even with the limited food options, even with plans to go to Give Kids the World, Night of a Million Lights. It's something about being on the bubble. And even when we wanted to go to Disney Springs, we didn't take our car. We just took the bus. Or we were at Boardwalk, so we walked a lot of places. We took the Skyliner because we've already are used to the bubble and we don't want to leave the bubble. So I think Disney in the 16 years, they have created that bubble. Are people upset? Absolutely. Do they have a right to be upset? Absolutely. I get it. Obviously, it's not a service that I relied on, but I do understand. And it is that walking and seeing that red carpet at MCO was awesome. It started your vacation and it got you excited. So I know that just it makes your vacation start a little later once you get on site. But I do understand the cost cutting because Uber and Lyft changed everything. People can now easily go off site and take Uber and Lyft to go to Universal, to go to SeaWorld. And I think when they created this, they saw a return on investment with people not leaving the bubble. And then as Uber and Lyft became more popular, they have now not seen the return on investment as much. I think people are going to be upset. They've given us a year to say goodbye to Magical Express. I don't think they're going to turn. I don't think they're going to regret it. And at the end of the day, I don't think it's going to hurt their numbers enough for them to regret it. I think that's why they've given us a year to get used to it. And it's just going to be a new normal, like a lot of things. Maybe I'm too optimistic. And I think from a business perspective, it makes sense. I think from the Disney magic perspective and experience perspective, yeah, it's probably not a good move. But I think in the end, people are going to get used to it. And people still went to Disney before 2005 and stayed on property.
We would be remiss to not mention that the long-term goal of this is probably because the train is going to be built between right. Springs and the airport. And then at that point, there will be seamless terminal, which will probably have the red carpet and everything. But it's so far from now. So it's weird that they would cut this off in 2022 when the train's not even there yet.
I'm sure it had to do with the contract Tremiers, because their contract expires at the end of this year. And it's just a matter of not renewing it is what they're doing.
There's a lot of reasons. And I'm with you, Shannon. This isn't going to really change. We started staying on property in 2006. And Magical Express was already established at that time. And since between 2006 and this past October, I have not had a car on property. I've not left property from Disney on all of our probably close to 20 trips during that time. This last trip, because they did not take my bags, I rented a car. I still mostly stayed on property. I still want to stay within the bubble. But what I did do is I went out and I bought some groceries and we ate some more of our breakfasts in our room. We ate not so much lunches, but we got a couple bottles of wine. So instead of going to the lounge, we had some friends over. We sat in our room. We drank a bottle of wine. Disney lost money for it. Again, probably on paper, it'll be hard for them to see a money loss. But I do think that they are going to lose money from doing this. I do also agree with what Vicky said in that they will continue to have something that can be seamlessly integrated to an extent. It might not be called Magical Express, but I think you're going to see something that, and you're paying $20 per person or something like that for that round trip service. It's too bad that it's gone, but I don't think it's the end of the world, but I do think it's a bad decision.
Yeah. At least telling us now so that we have 353 days to get used to it, and that people that are booking trips for 2022, they are prepared and hopefully there'll be some options. But just know if you are affected, there are going to be options. Take a look at that Orlando airport shuttle. MERS will have something, and I think more information will come forthcoming. But don't think that you're just going to be sitting at the airport and having to figure it out while you're at the airport. I think that there'll be plenty of options within a reasonable price range.
We've done Uber Lyft from the airport to the hotel, and it's really not that expensive. It depends on your size of your party, obviously, but we have a party of three plus bags, and we've done it for $35
right,
each way. So it really is very doable. It's just going to cost you something now that didn't cost you before.
Exactly. It's just something you're going to have to add into your budget. And with that, there was a little something else in that blog post. So Jake, why don't you take that one?
All right. So in that blog post, we also learned about this new feature for Disney Resort guests, and that's going to be the early park entry. So coming later this year as part of the 50th anniversary celebration, Disney Resort hotel guests and guests of other select hotels, probably Good Neighbor hotels is what I'm assuming, will have access to early park entry. And this will be at all four theme parks every single day, and it'll be 30 minutes prior to scheduled park opening. They're not calling this extra magic hours, and in that article, they did say that due to the health and safety restrictions, they're still not going to do extra magic hours. I interpreted that as it's still suspended and could come back.
It's done.
I'm holding out for hope here. I'm a big fan of extra magic hours. I love the parks at night. It's probably my favorite time to be in the theme park. I'm not a morning person at all. You won't catch me in a theme park before 3 o'clock usually. And I also think that 30 minutes is not enough time to be able to get everything done.
I do agree with that. The 30 minutes is not a perk. Universal, it's an hour. For it to be any sort of value, it needs to be an hour. 30 minutes is nothing. As far as extra magic hours in the morning, not the evening ones, the morning, 10 years ago, they were great. Now it's the park I avoided. If there was extra magic hours at Magic Kingdom on Friday, that was the park we did not go to. And that was the recommendation by Touring Plans, is that if a park had morning extra magic hours, you didn't go to that park, or you went to that park during those morning extra hours and then left, because it just doubled the occupancy of the park that day. More people went on those days. So I like this new thought of the early access, but 30 minutes isn't enough.
By the time you get into the park, scan in and go to your first ride, especially something like Magic Kingdom or Epcot, it's a little bit of a trek to get to an attraction. Once you get in line and do the ride, you're basically out of time within those 30 minutes, which is why it's so frustrating from my perspective. I have never had an issue during evening extra magic hours ever. I've always been able to do everything I wanted to do. The crowds have always been really good, especially I think it was Wednesday before COVID hit, was evening extra magic hour day at Magic Kingdom, where you had 2 hours, sometimes even more, to be able to explore the park. And it's just really disappointing for me, because the reason why you buy DVC and why you stay on site is for the perks. They've always promoted that loyalty has its perks. And now we see our perks dwindling down. First Magical Express, now extra magic hours, then our 60-day fast passes. It's like, why would you even stay on site anymore if you're not a DVC member?
Just to play devil's advocate with you, we buy DVC so we could stay at a deluxe resort at a discount. You should never buy into a timeshare, whether it's DVC or whatever, for perks. And DVC tells you that. And that's the reason why we promote resale a lot, because the perks can go away. Now, obviously, these are perks for staying on site, but there is something. There are doing the 30 minutes. I don't think it's enough. I think this is something that they may change to a longer period of time, or they may realize or get complaints that it's just not enough. But remember that we buy into DVC to pre-purchase our vacations and stay at a deluxe for the price of a moderate or even a value.
Yeah, and I totally understand that, because I'm a firm believer in that. I'm just saying that in the Disney brand, they've always taken care of their resort guests, especially their deluxe resort guests. Universal, people who stay at their top dollar hotels, they get included fast passes in their hotel stay. Now it's gone to the point that you're getting 30 minutes in a park, and now you're not even getting free magic bands anymore. You have to pay for a magic band. So I'm going on a little bit of a rant here, just because it's frustrating growing up on Disney and seeing them doing so many cool things. Like back in the day when we used to be able to stay into Magic Kingdom until 3 a.m. if you were an on-site guest, I look at it from that perspective. And now anything that's not that is just a little bit of a disappointment. And that's, you know.
Extra magic hours were already being ruined by the hard ticket events. The Christmas parties, the Halloween parties, the villain party, whatever you want to call it, the, hey, let's charge $125 so you can get into the parks, so there's less people party, whatever it is. That whole thing has ruined the extra magic hours before this even came along. They basically had no incentive to keep the evening extra magic hours.
And they hadn't. They had pretty much canceled them.
Pretty much gotten rid of them. You had one at Epcot and one at Magic Kingdom that was down to 2 hours, which, okay, fine, whatever, but it just wasn't enough time as it is. I agree with what you just said, Jake, taking away. At some point, it's going to hurt on-site stays. The problem with 30 minutes to me is that you need some advantage from this early entry, right? And if I have 30 minutes early, I can get in, I can get in line, I can get on a ride. By the time I'm off that ride, everybody else is in the park. So I've gotten really no advantage by that 30 minutes. If you give me an hour, I can get on that ride, get off the ride, and get on a second ride. So now I've had an advantage. I agree with everybody saying half hour is going to be problematically short, in that the only advantage you get is you get ahead of some people in line for that first ride. But as soon as you get off that ride, all those other people are in the park anyways. So the second ride is going to have just as much of a crowd. Unless you're very judicious with the ride that you pick for the first ride, such that you can get on a second ride before they let the rest of the people in. Without knowing more details, I don't know what to think about it. I do like the idea that it's all the parks. Right. At least that's a positive, that you don't have to pick and choose and then fight the crowds with the current extra magic hours. Because exactly what Shannon said, forget it. I wouldn't go to extra magic hours morning if you paid me right now, because there's so many people there. And then by the time you're done with that hour, it's so crowded. I want to go to another park anyways. We would always skip it. I'll have to see with this, with we're rope droppers. So I see that we'll, in theory, take advantage of it, but it'll be interesting to see how it goes.
Now with Magic Kingdom, you can walk in at 8 o'clock. What I expect is that they'll still let you walk in, and then they'll have a place where you have to scan in and prove that you are a resort
guest. Scan your magic bands that you had to pay for.
And I think they're not necessarily phasing out magic bands, but I think they're trying to get people to use their smartphones more and more. And I say this mainly because you never used to see magic bands at the outlet, and now there's bins and bins of them, which leads me to believe that they're not going to be relying on magic bands as much as they have been for the last several years.
I'm not afraid to use my smartphone, but the magic band is more handy than my smartphone. I don't have my smartphone in my hand 24 hours a day like some people do. And if I'm getting on a fast pass, if I'm, you know, scanning into the park, it's so much easier to not have to pull out my phone to try and do something than just, so I'm going to keep using the magic bands.
I was a rope dropper, and sometimes I would do the method that was advised to you, Shannon, where I would ignore the park that had the early magic hours, and then sometimes I would utilize it. So this new method, I'm not sure what the new strategy is. So I think that's new to everybody too, because everyone kind of had a rhythm for how they did things. That'll be interesting to see how everyone handles it. But I do also think 30 minutes seems a very short amount of time, where it's almost like nothing.
I don't even think Disney probably even knows how they're going to handle it, let's be honest. So I think there's going to be a rhythm, and we're going to learn more, and there's going to be sites that will analyze all of this for us. Again, I'm not going to miss the extra magic hours in the morning. I pretty much had said goodbye to them because they really weren't offered anymore. But this 30 minutes is just not enough.
Vicky, living out in California, being a resident, did you ever get to take advantage of the early entry out there?
I stayed a couple times where I did. We did similar to how you guys did it, where it was only certain parks on certain days had the early magic hours. Yeah. They would alternate. But it was an hour, which is great.
Right.
I thought it was great out there. We took advantage of it when we stayed out there and a couple times, and you could get a lot done. But it was limited to multi-day tickets. It wasn't just limited to on-site stays, because we would be staying off-site and we would still have it. Well, it depended. If you were staying on property, you could have more than one of them. If you're staying off-site, I think you got one day
right.
with it. It was still nice, but it was an hour. We could knock off a good portion of Fantasyland in that hour. Again, I'm not sure how this half hour is going to work. And truthfully, I've done it at Universal, and at Universal, it stinks.
Yeah.
The way Universal does it. But Universal's other problem is it's also only like a single land or just two or three rides. So it's literally 10,000 people all going to the same thing. If they do it so that it's a single ride or a single land, it's going to be a problem. But if it's the whole park, I don't think it'll be that bad.
I think, and this is just me speculating, I think that's one of the reasons why it's a half an hour and not an hour, and that it will be everything.
Right.
But if it was an hour, it may be just Fantasyland at Magic Kingdom. Maybe that's why they did it that way. Because honestly, with Magic Kingdom, if they made it an hour, but it was only Fantasyland, I think I'd probably prefer the half an hour and the whole park, so because it would space out everybody. Maybe in Hollywood Studios, it wouldn't be that benefit.
I hope it is. And even just thinking here, I'm like, and maybe even so, it's still there's still an advantage to it. Because think about, okay, I go to Hollywood Studios. If I'm in there a half hour early, I head right to Tower of Terror. I get a ride in. I get in line for Rock and Roller Coaster before the park opened. Maybe I'm able to get two rides in before the rest of the crowds can come in. Because the interesting thing is it will spread out the on-property people.
Yeah.
You won't have everybody coming to one park. So it's really going to be a limited number of people that are going to be in there. So we'll have to see how it goes.
It did say coming later this year as part of the 50th anniversary celebration. And the only positive spin that I can actually put on this is if you've been in the parks lately, getting anything that drops for merchandise is near impossible if you're not rope dropping right away. So I'm thinking with the 50th anniversary, there's going to be a lot of limited edition merchandise. So those 30 minutes can actually help you out in that sense. Now that I think about it, I have a couple friends and family who are going to be there on the first just for the merch. So actually this might help you out because the Emporium's right next to the gate. So I can actually see this benefiting a couple people.
With Magic Kingdom, I don't think it would make a difference because where they will check will probably be past the hub because there's no attractions on Main Street. I think they'll still let people in, but they'll check people at Adventureland or past the hub.
Yeah, the only rate that would work is if they check at the turnstiles.
Yeah, I don't think they will because they want people spending money during that time. And that's why they let them in an hour early now. Well, with that, we will go to another thing that is going away. And this one made me a little sad, but I do understand it. And that is that Sorcerers of the Magic Kingdom is to end later this month. If you don't know, Sorcerers of the Magic Kingdom is an interactive in-park game where guests can cast magical spells in the form of cards to defeat Disney villains. At the time of recording, the website says that it's going to run until January 31st. There have been reports that it's going to actually end on January 24th is the final date. So if you are visiting Magic Kingdom, make sure to stop by, get some extra cards because they're probably going to be collector's items. And I say that I'm sad because we played this our last full day at Disney World this past December. Actually, on my vlog, I have a little bit of video of my son playing it. And it was a lot of fun. He's really into portals. He's 5 and he's really into things with portals. So he just thought it was just the coolest thing. And we spent about 45 minutes playing Sorcerers of the Magic Kingdom within Main Street. However, we did that because we had gone back to Magic Kingdom. The first day we went to Magic Kingdom, we did everything we wanted. This was like that bonus extra visit before we left our vacation. So we had some extra time to kill, and I've known about it for years, but this was the first time we did it. I'm not surprised because there was no line to get the cards. There was a few other people. We did see a few other people playing, but I don't think it ever really caught on. And if you only have one day in the Magic Kingdom, it was probably something you didn't partake. Did any of you ever play it?
I totally did. I'm an adult and I still enjoyed it. And while I did enjoy the attraction or in-park game, my favorite part of this was actually walking in the park and seeing people playing. I know when you go past Frontierland into Liberty Square. You can see people playing, and I think it's really cool just hearing it and seeing people playing. I'm a little bit surprised here because this is a staple of the Magic Kingdom. If you pay attention to detail, as you walk under the train station to your right when you're going into Magic Kingdom, there's actually a poster, a plaque of Sorcerers of the Magic Kingdom next to Big Thunder and the Happily Ever After one. So I've always looked at it as like a classic, something that is unique to the Magic Kingdom. So seeing it go away is a little bit of a surprise. I get it. It's not as popular for folks who maybe have one day in the Magic Kingdom. They're probably not going to waste too much time playing. But for those of us who are frequent flyers at Disney World, I think it was awesome. It was a really fun thing to do. And you can collect the cards. They even had them over at Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party and the Halloween Party, special editions for those. And I've always enjoyed those. So definitely going to be something that I'll miss.
We tried it when our daughter was younger. I think she was a little too old for it when it came out, even, but right when it first came out, we tried it. I didn't really get it, like how the cards worked and why you picked a card. I had no clue. And it seemed like everything worked. I can see how kids miss it. It wasn't in the way of anything, but it's not one of those things I'm going to at all miss seeing gone. I'm sure there's certain people that will. If it makes the cards that I have worth some money, then hey, then close it.
Again, it's sad that it's closing. It makes sense. Hopefully they'll put something in its place or do something. Time will tell. This has been an episode of things that Disney is taking away. Let's end this episode on something positive.
So we got a great offer for DVC members at Aulani just announced. From now through February 26, all DVC members can take advantage of a complimentary night at the Aulani Resort when they book a four-night stay or longer. And this offer is valid most nights from January 8th through February 28th, and it can only be booked by calling member service. So if you're looking for a great time at Aulani, now's the time to go and make sure you are using your vacation points to book to get the deal. And I'm super excited, and I wish I was going to Aulani right now to do this.
This was released. I told Ray, you think we can get to Hawaii? It's a little far from South Florida.
Yeah, I feel your pain. I've looked at it myself, but from a historical standpoint, I think this is a historic deal for DVC. I don't think there's ever been anything like this, especially when using vacation points, where you get a night that's completely complimentary. And I think it's awesome. I think it's very cool, especially during these times where it's difficult to get out to Hawaii because of the restrictions and the tests and all that good stuff to get over there. So this will give people an incentive to get out there and enjoy a free night. I know if I lived on the West Coast, I would definitely be considering going, but I don't. I'm like Shannon, I'm a South Floridian, so it's a bit of a trek for me to get over there. But all in all, it's awesome compared to all the other news that we've had today.
It's too bad that it's not a longer period of time. I would say the only thing is because it's going to be very limited who can take advantage of this.
I think it's probably geared for those West Coasters, the ones that have California points to burn and can't use Grand Californian. Okay, you can go to Aulani. I don't think it's made for someone like me.
Even if you live on the West Coast, to just drop and go on vacation with 6 weeks notice is not always easy to do. So it'd be nice if they had maybe extended it to like April or May or something like that. It's a nice deal for those in California that can't use their points, especially.
And if you had a trip out to Aulani during this time, definitely call member services. I did have to call member services today. I had a 45-minute wait, but I did get through. Just try first thing in the morning, but call member services and get this deal because this is great. Hopefully one of our listeners can take advantage of it. If you do take advantage of it, make sure to let us know on our Facebook community, My DVC Points community. We have lots of conversations. There was a big conversation today about all the news that came out, as well as just sharing. We have people that share trip reports and pictures. And you know, if you were able to take advantage of this Aulani offer, definitely let us know.
If you're on the West Coast and you can find a really good plane ticket, we got a lot of deals right now and you can combine it together. It would be a great thing to get away for the weekend.
Before we head out, be sure to join us on Discord. We've been having a really good time over there hanging out with all of the Patreons in the Chad's Hard Ticket event room. And I think it's just a good time. We get together there after every live show. So be sure to join us so we can get to know you a little better.
That's great. Well, with that, I guess we will wrap it up. We had a lot to talk about tonight. Thanks, everyone, for joining us, and we'll see you real soon.
Yeah, that was a good conversation on those two topics, especially.
Yeah, it was a good time. So we'll see you next time, folks.
See you guys.
Bye, everybody.
Ladies and gentlemen, please watch your head and step as you exit, and take small children by the hand.
Aw, cheer up, Dad. You know I'll come back. With DVC.
My DVC Points is an unofficial Disney-inspired podcast created by fans of Disney Vacation Club. The thoughts expressed in this podcast are personal opinions and personal experiences. My DVC Points is not affiliated with Disney Vacation Club, the Walt Disney Companies, or any subsidiaries. We encourage listeners to contact their DVC guide or member services for official DVC policies.